Chapter number 8, Psalms chapter number 8. Even Mrs. Berry's special music there goes along a little bit with our chapter here, and maybe she planned that out. It would be in Psalms chapter 8. She knew it was going to be that exact week, and she chose that one. I doubt it, but maybe. Who knows? So tonight's title of tonight's message is What is Man? And we've looked at this over the years. I'm sure since I've been the pastor, it's been once or twice at least that we've looked at that question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But as we're going through the Psalms, you're going to see there's different ones that we repeat, and there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, it helps us and builds us. Many times I use those slides, if you remember how the size compared to the sun versus the earth, it's just a little speck of dust compared to the size of the sun. And then when the psalmist, when David is saying, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now you consider how vast this universe is, and we're just, you know, one solar system. I mean, there's so much out there, and that the God of the universe loves us. You know, it's just the wonder of it all, like Mrs. Berry was singing about, that he would come to this world. So tonight we're going to look at that. What is man? I think the psalm was written while David was outside. And let's go ahead and read through it, and then we'll open up with a little bit of introductory, and then we'll look at these different main points. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now you notice how it starts. Now look at what it says in verse number 9 now. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So it begins and ends almost exactly the same. You say, Pastor, almost exactly the same? Well, if you look at the word Lord there in verse number 1, you see that it's all capitalized, L-O-R-D, and it's all large letters. So you look down at verse number 9, it says, O Lord, and that Lord is, it's all capitalized, but the O-R-D is a little bit smaller. There are two separate names for Lord. One's referring to Yahweh, the other one's referring to Adonai. And so it's a little bit of an interesting different Bible study if you want to try to whet your interest there and look at the differences. We're not going to spend much time on that, but there's a beginning praise, there's an ending praise. So what gets him excited? You say, why is he excited? Look what it says. There's an exclamation point there. There's an exclamation point at the beginning. It says, Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And verse number 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So exclamation points, it means he's excited. He's overwhelmed. And I tell you, one preacher put it this way. He says, you can tell a lot about a man or a woman by what makes them excited. You can tell a lot about a man or woman about what makes a person excited. And there are different things that excite people in this world. Sometimes it's sporting events. Sometimes it's family events. And nothing wrong with having some excitement. But the issue is when we don't get excited about the Lord. And David is here and he's meditating on how beautiful and majestic this world is. And it comes to this point that he's overjoyed. He's excited. He takes the time to consider a powerful truth. And as he takes this time, what he does, he boils it all down to one thing. God, you are so great. And God, I am nothing. It reveals to him the greatness of God. This excites him to the point that he asks this powerful question, what is man? Let's keep on going. Verse number 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. So he talks about how his name is excellent in all the earth, and then how his glory is set above all the heavens. You see things that are glorious. You see things that are beautiful. You see things that are amazing. God is above all that. He's the creator of all that, but he's above all that. Then there's an interesting verse here, number 2. Some of you might recognize it as something that Jesus told the religious leaders after he had cleansed the temple, and they began to, the blind and lame came to him and he healed them. They were unhappy because they were hearing the children sing praises to him. And we're going to look at that passage if we have time in a little while. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. In my mind, I'm looking at that verse and seeing how God uses even the youngsters to be able to defeat the mighty. And the enemies, you know, he does these things because thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And I think about all the different people, young people that God used in the Bible. But I think about Moses, you know, Pharaoh wanted to kill all the baby boys. And what does God do? He sends a deliverer and starts with what? A baby.
the Pharaoh's daughter finds the baby crying in the river. And just an amazing story that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, many times children can teach us something about having faith in God and believing in God and trusting in the Lord. Sometimes our faith, because of circumstances, we get overwhelmed and we don't consider things. I love seeing young people hear the Bible and hear truths of the Bible and be impressed with God. It's one of the things I enjoy about children's church on Sunday morning. Some of those young people have never heard anything about the Bible, and we begin to tell them stories about how God does amazing, miraculous things, parting the Red Sea. We're with the nation of Israel right now, and they just did not want to go into the promised land. We talked about the grasshoppers, and we talked about the giants a little bit, talked about having to trust the Lord and how two stood when the over a million was saying that it's wrong. Children many times can teach us because of their faith. And it says, verse number three, you come to this spot. He begins, says, when I consider thy heavens, it's important. We're never going to truly get excited about God unless we take time to consider. It's another word we can use is meditate. Unless we really take time to understand what he's saying. I believe he's outside when he's saying this. Remember, David was an individual who was known for being outside. He was there watching the sheep as a young man. He killed Goliath outside. Then he's there as a commander. And then he goes from the commander to running from Saul, to being a warrior king, to running from Absalom. He spent many nights outside. And he's looking up, and he's taking time to consider just how amazing God's creation is. As he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. As I mentioned earlier, what gets you excited? See, when we understand God's greatness and how small we are, it will humble us. It will make us excited when we get to the next verse, when we see here what it says in verse number four. What is man that thou art mindful of him? David gets to this spot, and he's overwhelmed by this. He's excited. He's saying, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." He is super excited about it because he realizes God's created all these things. And we think about how big the stars are and how small the earth is and how we are just one little person inside this world of over billions of people. And the Bible says that God not only knows us, he loves us. Not only does he love us, he knows the number of hairs upon our head. It's amazing that David comes to the point after considering creation and looking up in the stars and saying, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, why in the world would you even consider man with this vast creation, with all this world, with all this universe? Why in the world would you even consider man? Then he takes a step farther. He said, not only did you consider him, look what he did for him. He says, and the son of man that thou visiteth him. You know, it's the wonder of it that God would even know my name, but he came to die for me. That is amazing. And then he continues on and he says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, referring to the place that Jesus took, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to see and understand how excited David was in this passage of Scripture. Because he took the time. He took the time to worship. He took the time to consider an amazing truth. God, would you help us tonight? Help us at this place to turn around and walk away saying, Lord, you are good. And Lord, you deserve our worship and you deserve our praise. Lord, help us so much. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, pretty simple tonight. And there's 3 points, and then there's some points underneath each of the points. But what we learn about God, what we know about man, and how man should respond to God. I think you can see at least some of that in here, if not all of it. And it's if I could guess impress upon you what David was thinking. He looked at creation, he looked at the stars, he looked at the moon, he had an understanding, and he considered it. He understood and considered how great creation was. You think about it, how close we are to the sun. If we got any closer, we would burn up. If we got any farther away, we would freeze to death. You know, that's just amazing. You go and you begin to consider creation, you consider our bodies, just how intricate the eye is. I mean, there's just so much in our world that God was a creator. He's just an amazing God. And when you compare infinite God to us. What are we? I mean, we're nothing. And we're just, like I said, that speck of dust. We're made of dust, even. And on this big planet that's nothing but just a speck in the big universe, even a speck that you really can't even see if you compare it to the sun. And it's just amazing. David gets this and he understands it. And this excites him because he understands this, because he's taken time to worship the Lord. He's taken time to praise the Lord. It's something that he does. And because of this, it drives him. It drives him to understand who God is and who he is. The God who created man loved man so much that he was willing to become man without ceasing to be God. Remember, infinite God here versus finite man. And you come to this point that God loved us so much that he became man. Jesus became man. And that's what he's saying. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And that, and it says, and the Son of Man that visiteth him. You know, how in the world, God, you're so great. How in the world can God become man for us? We've heard the story so often and so much. It becomes so normal and becomes so natural. We just live our lives whatever way we want because I'm on my way to heaven. David's not this way. David is a man after God's own heart. David's a man that's taking time to consider. David's a man that has his, and you say, his head's up in the clouds. No, his head's focused on the Lord, and the Lord's impressing something upon him to write this psalm. And he's saying, won't you take time to consider? He says, when I consider creation, this is what I think about. When I consider creation, this is amazing. This is an awesome, has to be a divine creator. But David takes it a step farther. How does that apply to my life? God, why in the world would you even care about me? God, why in the world would you even know who I was? And God, why in the world would you ever come to die for me? And David is excited. That's why he says, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then that's when he continues on and he comes to this point, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So here's a couple things. First thing I want you to think about is what we learn about God. First thing I want you to think about is he is worthy of our praise. And I know I've mentioned that already, but look what it says. O Lord, our Lord. It's something that it's a personal thing. And I hope you can say that he's your Lord tonight. That he's your Lord and Savior tonight, that you have submitted to him. He is God. He is Lord of the universe. But someday you will bow one way or another and proclaim that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is worthy of our praise. Why is he worthy of praise? How excellent is thy name in all the earth? It's his name is good. He's never done anything wrong. And then he goes on and says, who has set thy glory above the heavens, that even his glory is above anything. You know, the most precious, the most beautiful, the most amazing thing. No comparison to God. It's above the heavens. And then the second thing I want you to think about, he is also our creator. And that's what he talked about in verse number two. Not only is he worthy of our praise, he's our creator. He not only did he create man, he did not leave man to himself. And this Psalms, and I love this about it, it's not only is he the creator, he's the Christ. Put the connection there. Creator of the universe. Yes, he made it all, but he's still also the Christ that came and died for us. I think we forget that. And that's what the psalmist is excited about. That's why the exclamation points are there. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He is creator and Christ, and he died for us. That's where you get to Philippians chapter number two. He humbled himself even to, became obedient even unto the death of the cross. So not only was he creator, he became Christ for us, and he was willing to humble himself to the point that he was willing to die on the cross. And compare to him, infinite God versus finite man, who am I compared to God? And that's what David's saying. Compared to God, what am I? I have no right to even talk to him. I have no right to even exist. But what does he do? He says, why would you think about man? Why would you come to visit? So the third thing I want you to see, and you say, where do you see that he's a creator? He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Don't walk past creation without praising the Lord. It's something we should take time to rejoice and praise the Lord for what he's made. And then he says, the third point is he's worthy of praise. He is creator. He cares about man and he puts value on human life. And that's why in verse number four, what is man that thou art mindful of him and the son of man that thou visiteth him? Compared to God and how great God is compared to us, who we are, he loved us so much. He found value in us and he loved us so much that he was willing to care. He considered us. He was willing to die for us. He was willing to visit with us. And don't lose this. This is what makes him excited. He says, you know, sometimes we don't even worship him. Sometimes we do what we want to do, and we worship the creation more than we do the creator. And it is sad. And David's coming to this point. He's overwhelmed. He's thankful because of the fact that he understood this truth. And at this moment in time, he's saying, I can't even imagine why you would want to do this, why you would love me so much. And we live in a world today where people want to value human life more than they value God. I mean, animals more than they value human life. You know, yes, we're going to learn in a second what is man. We're going to look at some different things about man. But there are people out there that thinks, hey, we should save the whales, but it's no problem killing the unborn babies. I mean, it's sad. It's because Jesus wasn't coming to save the whales. He wasn't going to come to earth because they didn't have a soul. They weren't destined for hell. All those different things. So do you value life? Sometimes I look around and see how people treat one another, and it concerns me because God loves that person. That person you're being nasty to, that person you don't want to forgive, that person you have vain imaginations about and think about how you could harm them or hurt them or do things wrong to them, you should be very careful. You're talking about one of the children of God or one of the creations of God, and he thought enough about them to do what? He considered them. He came. He values human life, and we should value human life. I think it's important. I think even when we vote for elections, we should vote for those that want to value human life, and that the unborn too is human life. So what do we learn about God? We learn he's a creator. We learn he's worthy of our praise, and we learn he cares about man. He loves man. So here's the question. What is man, or what do we know about man? We're going to look at a couple different passages. And once again, I didn't know how much to put in, how much to leave out, because there's a ton of things the Bible describes about man, or tons of things we know about ourselves. So if God is the creator, he's the creation. So the first thing is, he is a created being. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created him them, he them. We read through that quickly because it's familiar. But here's the deal is, God created man. He created man in his image. He is the crown and glory of his creation. He is created in his image, and the fact that they are made of a body, soul, and a spirit, or a flesh, soul, and spirit. And so here, he's a created being. So that's kind of puts the picture there. When David asks this question, what is man? He's like, I'm just the creation. You made me, God. Why in the world would you even think about me? Why in the world would you come visit me? Why in the world would you even care about me? And that's, he is a created being. Genesis 2, verses 19 and 20 gives the understanding how this is different than any beast of the field. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, what was the name thereof? And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found in a helpmeet for him. So he creates him. He creates him different than the animals. He gives him, at that point in time, dominion over the animals. And Adam is intelligent enough. Adam names all the different animals. So he is a created being. So when David is asking this question, he's not saying man is worthless, but he's saying, compared to you, God, what is man? The next thing I want you to think about is, not only is he a created being, he is made out of flesh that will not last. If you look in the Bible, there's a different times when it talks about the flesh and how it's not lasting forever. Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8 is a good way to describe this. It says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. So we're going to say, when David's saying, what is man? He says, I'm only going to be here for a certain amount of time. God, you're infinite. You have no end, no beginning. The millions and billions, however many years you live in time, in a sense. You created time. And he says, compared to you, I'm nothing. He says, I am a created being and I will die someday. He says, all flesh, why in the world would you consider me? Why in the world would you love me so much that you would want to come and visit me? And then he see, not only is we know about man. He's a created being. He's made of flesh. He is loved by God. He's loved by God. And we've already mentioned that from the fact of the first point. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? We're going to see the response of how we should respond to it in a second. He is created for God's glory and pleasure. Sometimes we think that we're here and that we're here to make ourselves happy. But the Bible tells us, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. So David here, he understood it. He says, okay, I see the heavens, I see the stars, I see the moons. I imagine it at night, and he's there, he's writing this. He says, of all the great, vast creation you have, what is man that thou art mindful of him? So if I'm a created being that's not going to last forever, God loves me, there must be a purpose for my life. What's my purpose? My purpose is to bring glory and honor to God. So if we consider, one, the creation, and then we look at ourselves and say, compared to God, who am I? And I turn and I learn, I'm nothing but a created being, and I am not going to last forever. And I understand our soul. I get it. I know that. But our flesh is not going to last forever. The thing that we fight against, and then we come to the spot that God loves me so much that he visited me, and I'm supposed to be here for his glory. So how should I respond? Last but not least, I want you to think about this, is man, what is man? He's created being. He's made of flesh. It will not last forever. He's loved by God. He's created for God's glory. He'll never truly be satisfied without God. He'll never truly be satisfied without God. This is you say, well, I don't always see that. Or, you know, God has made us in a certain way that there's a certain, God himself is the only one that can truly help us understand spiritual things. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 14. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man receiveth not the spirit things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You're never truly going to be satisfied. I know sometimes people turn around and it's like, I've heard people say, you know, my wife's just not meeting my needs. Or a wife might say, the husband's just not meeting his needs. They're not fulfilling me. You're never going to truly find true fulfillment and satisfaction outside of God. And once again, a wife has a role, a husband has a role, and they're supposed to be there for one another and meet each other's needs. But you can't, it's sort of like, hey, sometimes people think, when I get married, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be happy. Nothing's ever going to go wrong again. We all know that's not true. And then you're looking for something, right? Say, okay, well, maybe if I have a child, then everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to be wonderful and everything's going to be right. And what happens when that child comes, no matter how submissive or how beautiful, all this, there's a lacking there because there's something that's missing. What's missing is this relationship with God. It's understanding who we are, understanding spiritual things. There will be always something missing in our heart if we do not understand who God is and who we are. So he'll never truly be satisfied. So what should man's response be? We consider, one last point here. Some will believe and some will reject. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Matthew 21. I've read a couple passages that were a little bit longer, but I want you to see this story here because it ties into Psalm chapter 8. There's a couple of times in Psalm chapter 8 is mentioned in the New Testament. It's mentioned in Hebrews and also talking about the little lower than the angels. And here in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus has just cleansed the temple. And as he has cleansed the temple, some people are there praising and worshiping. And I enjoy this thought here. Look what it says in Matthew 21. Look what it says in verse 14. The Bible says, we'll start in verse 13. And said unto them, this is Jesus speaking to the religious leaders and all the people that had made God's house a den of thieves. It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Look what it says here after this. And I think this is missed sometimes because, you know, we see all the great things that happened. He cleared it out, way to go. But look at the people who approach him. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased, and said unto him, "Hearest thou what they say?" And Jesus saith unto him, "Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" And so when you look at this and you consider this, and if you go back to Psalms chapter 8, you see in verse number 2, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." Jesus' enemies here is the chief priests and scribes. It says they saw the wonderful things he did, and they still hate it. They saw the wonderful things they did, and they still crucified him. And that the young people were wise enough. That person was blind. That person was lame. This man touched this person. He must be the Messiah. And it's just the purity of the thing. That person could not see. And after Jesus touched him or said something, now they can see. He deserves praise. He deserves worship. But they didn't. And that's the idea here, that he's saying that out of the mouth of the babes and sucklings, God does not need to use some person that's super old or super intelligent, super this, super that. God uses people like that, but he can use a child to show the enemy what you're doing is wrong. Your heart is wrong. If you can watch, because it says they saw the wonderful things and they still hated him. They saw the wonderful things, and just a few chapters they're going to crucify him. They saw these things and they still were not willing to believe. And so that's when we come to this point of, what is man? You know, man is a creation. Man is not going to last forever. Man is loved by God, and God cares about man, puts a value on man. But there will be some who believe and some who will not believe. That should not dictate how we live our lives. We should want to worship him. So let's go ahead and take our Bible back now to Psalm chapter 8. I love that story, because there's somebody there worshiping the Lord, and it wasn't the people that should have. I'm sure the lame and the blind people were super excited. Maybe the children were associated with him. I don't really think so. I think they were excited from what everybody else had heard and seen the triumphal entry coming down and all these different things happening. They're just praising him because they saw the wonderful things. Will you see the wonderful things? Say, "Pastor, what's the wonderful things?" Go outside and see creation. Consider what creation is like, and then consider that the Creator became the Christ, that the Creator was willing to leave all of glory for you and for me. And it's the wonder of it all. That's why he says, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." It's because of the fact that it is excellent because of what he's done for us. So how should man respond? How should man respond? I think the way that we should respond is in a way of worship. You say, what's worship? It's when our heart is in all of who God is. When our heart is in all of who God is. We put him up there and we say, "God, you are God. You created the universe and you loved me, even though I'm nothing but just a little, not even big enough to be a speck, and consider of all of eternity where the earth is at, and that you know me, and that I'm a soul, and all those things you did for me." So how do we respond? The first thing is, I think we must learn to how to consider. What brought David to this realization? It says in verse number 3, "When I consider thy heavens." I don't think many of us take the time to consider what God's trying to show us. We should want to see God in everything. We want to see God working and see how God moves and how we respond. I am just man. I am just a creator. I am just a creation of the Creator, and the Creator loves me so much. My desire, if what I'm here to do is bring worship and honor to God, I should learn how to worship him. I should learn how to praise him. And it should be a way. I'm never going to learn how to do that until I learn how to consider. Until I learn how to meditate, until I learn how to get into his word and let God speak to my heart, when I learn how to worship him. Worship is in our heart when we stand in awe of him. We should seek to bring glory and honor to God. So here's a couple things. Number one, learn how to humble ourselves. Learn how to humble ourselves. Sometimes people look at space and they get puffed up because they know the stars and they can see farther than anybody else. You're missing it. I remember knocking on a door and talking to a guy, and he picked on me when I first walked up there. He said some cruel things to me, but I sat there and talked to him for a little while. And he is a guy that said he believed in science, and we began talking about all these different, he used to say the normal things that are out there. And I just kept on giving him the Bible and talking to him, just reasoning him. And I says, it takes a lot more faith to believe what you believe than what I believe. And he used to go to church. He knew some things about the Bible, but he didn't believe in God. He thought that what I did was ridiculous, shouldn't be coming to his house and things like that. But he talked to me for 20, 25 minutes. We had a good conversation. And I just, some people are going to believe, some people are not going to. When you're willing to consider, I encourage him with some different interesting things to consider. How could all these things just develop? There's no way that this could just happen. And we looked at some of those different things. And he did not want to humble himself. Did not want to say that there was a God out there. Because if you say that there's a God, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to answer to him. And I know we talk like that, but do we really live our lives like that? And that's what David is there. He's sitting outside. And who knows if it was as a child, or most people think it was when he was an older man. I was reading one of the contexts because of this title that's given in the next chapter said they thought it happened that when Goliath was killed, and that was more of a footnote than a title. But he's there, he's looking outside, and he's not just imagining vain thoughts like many of us do. He's not there worried about the things of the world. He's not there worried about, and once again, Saul was chasing at a time, Absalom was chasing at a time, being a sheep herder, you know, he could have been thinking about a lot of different things, but he was taking time to consider, and he got overwhelmed because of the fact he says, this is just plain amazing. Yes. How in the world can God even love me? Why would God even think about me? Why in the world would God even consider coming to this world for mankind? He humbled himself. He says, that is God. I am me. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve to have any of God's attention, any of God's affection. But what do we do when we pray? God, you need to give me this. God, I have to have this. Most of the time, our request is not about worshiping him. Most of the time, our request is not about bringing glory to his name. Most of the time, it's God, I got a laundry list here, and because you're God and I'm a Christian, you should give me this and you should give me this. God, I deserve this. And we act like this and we don't humble ourselves. And because we don't humble ourselves, you know what happens? We don't take time to consider. We don't take time to reflect and say, you know what? He is God. I am not God. If he wants to bring glory, if he wants me to bring glory to his name, how do I do that? If it means that God's allowing me to go through something, so be it. God, if you get glory out of it, I'm okay. That's what David is there. And he comes to the spot and he humbles himself and he puts himself to that spot. So it becomes that we should honor the Lord. I think we all agree with that. We should honor the Lord with our first fruits. We should honor the Lord with our lives. We should bring glory and honor of our whole complete being. But how do we do that when we don't take time to consider who God is? How do we do that when we don't put it two and two together and put the puzzle together that he is God and I am just nothing but a speck? Yes, he loves me because he loves me, because he cares for me. He makes me special. But in all reality, I'm just a creation of God and I've been created for a purpose. So we need to learn how to honor him. He must increase, I must decrease. Like John the Baptist talked about, he must increase, but I must decrease. He saw, remember when that happened? They were coming out and said, look, Jesus, John the Baptist, and you're going to John the Baptist, Jesus is baptizing more disciples than you. And you know, the other people are following after him. What was his response? Oh, we need to work harder? No, that's good. Why is that? Because John the Baptist understood who he was. He came first. He was 6 months older. Didn't matter. Learn who we are and who God is. How does man usually respond? In Romans chapter 1, it talks about a response. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I definitely believe this is talking about unsaved people. But I think sometimes we can make application to our own hearts. Do we glorify God like we should? Do we allow vain imaginations to happen in our hearts and lives? I understand our foolish heart can't be all the way darkened as a believer. But you see, here professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Talking about, obviously, homosexuality there. But this last verse is, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. You know, do we worship ourselves more than we do the creator? Who's going to dictate what I do in my life? Am I going to dictate it, or am I going to let God dictate it? Because sometimes I value my opinion more than I should value his. And that's not right. That's not good. Well, we need. What, how do we change that? Take time to consider. Take time to meditate. Consider the greatness of God, and you'll be overwhelmed. And you'll say, I don't even understand why they would even pay any attention to me. I think about my wife, and I think I married up in my mind. So I was like, why in the world would she ever talk to me when I first met her? I didn't think very highly of myself. And then I found out we found out that we liked each other. That was great. That was wonderful. Fantastic. You know, why in the world would she even talk to me? It's nothing compared to that. God, why in the world? What is man that thou art mindful of? And David was like, I don't understand it. I'm thankful for it. I'm going to praise you for it. And I'm going to live my life that way. So today, do you truly believe God is the one in charge? Do you live your life like that? Are you worshiping yourself more than him? Who has a higher opinion in your life? Am I doing things the way I want to do them? Or am I doing things the way God wants me to do them? It boils down to, am I living right? Recognize who he is. I love the psalm. I love that question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And David's like, what in the world do you see in man that you should think anything about him? You are God. You shouldn't even be thinking about us. You're God. Why in the world would you ever come to live and see and die for us? Why? With that thought, you don't mind serving him. With that thought, you don't mind worshiping. With that thought, you don't mind sacrificing. With that thought, you're like, God, if you did that for me, what is it that I should not be willing to do for you? But we don't live like that often. We don't take time to consider. Instead, we think, you know what? I'm a pretty good person. I've done this and I've done that. God would want me to have this and God would want me to have that. And there's nothing wrong with having certain things. But when you lose sight of who God is and who we are, consider. Take time to consider. Do what the Lord wants you to do, not what we think is okay. Let's have a word of prayer.